Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412. Psalms 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise. With a multitude, they kept a pilgrim feast. Okay, I entitled this message Thanksgiving because, you know, I just want to stay in the season a little bit, but I think it's important to understand Thanksgiving. And so the psalmist really brings that out, and we're going to look at that. So this is what he says: when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. With a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. You see, we're to keep the pilgrim feast. That's what we are. The pilgrim feast, you know what that is? That's when we break bread together. This is like a Thanksgiving, you know, we're coming together. And we got so much to be thankful for. But he says, with the voice of joy and praise. Now this word praise, it's got several words for it, and this word here, praise, is the word toda. Remember, we talked about the word praise as being barak, and we talked about the word praise as being zamar. Well, here it's used, and it's in this verse, it's used as the word toda, and that means thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's what the word praise means there. Thanksgiving, toda. And it actually means a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. So a sacrifice, when you sacrifice something, you're giving up something you don't want to give up. So that's what we do. We offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of praise. And when we do that, folks, it releases God's mercy and his power into our life. It releases his mercy into our life. It opens the floodgates and lets mercy just come into our lives. You're going to see that today. Because when we operate in that, when we're not thankful, we actually forfeit God's mercy and grace in our life. When we aren't thankful. When you complain and murmur, you are stopping the mercy and the grace of God from coming into your life. That's why it says, do all things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be found blameless and harmless, children of God, in the midst of this world, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will shine as lights in this world. You are the light of the world. Jesus is no longer the light of the world. You are the light of the world. What do you think about that? Jesus isn't walking around. You are. You're the light of the world. Right? And when we shine, when we don't complain and murmur, we automatically stand out. There's a lot of complaining and murmuring going on out there, isn't there? But you know what? That's not acceptable with a believer. And you know what? When you do that, you overwhelm your soul. And that, you can't be open to receive from God when you do that. Psalm 77:3 says, David complained and he was overwhelmed in his spirit. And that's what happens. When you complain, you become overwhelmed. Oh, that overwhelmed means oppressed. and depressed. When you're complaining and murmuring, you just bring that on your own life. And there's no light coming out. Come on, am I making sense? So Thanksgiving opens that up. It opens it up. When you're thankful, it just releases that. Now, the word toda, the word praise, is toda in this verse. And toda is spelled T-O-D-A-H or T-O-W-A-H. And this is what toda means. It means to lift the hands in agreement and acknowledgement with what God has said. Isn't that good? To lift the hands in agreement and acknowledgement with what God has said. You see, that's what you do when you're full of thanksgiving and you offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Not because you feel like it, because God said it. And now you're releasing something for God to bring grace and mercy into your life to meet the need that you have. We got to understand thanksgiving. Go with me to Hebrews 13, 15, real quick. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, toda, to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. How much? But the Bible teaches there's two reasons and only two times that we're to offer up the sacrifice of praise. There's only two times. It's when you are in trouble and when you're not in trouble. When you're in trouble and when you're not in trouble, that's when you offer up the sacrifice of praise. And folks, listen, that makes the way for God to come in and really do his work in your life. Now look at this. Go with me to Psalms 69. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're going to Psalm 69 now. I'm just getting off the track for a second. But it's on track because it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." You don't give thanks for everything. All, you know, if you're being whooped and you got major problems, you don't give thanks for that, but you can give thanks to God in that. You see what I mean? You can give thanks to God in that. In the midst of all the turmoil and everything that's going on, you can still go to God and you can be thankful in your relationship with him, and you have much to be thankful for. And you can give thanks in that. See that? It's not that you're giving thanks for all your problems. You're giving thanks to God in the midst of them. Come on now, that's important. That's significant. We got to understand that. You say, well, I don't feel like giving thanks when, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through a divorce. You don't understand. Folks, you can give thanks right in the middle of that, and that empowers you right there. Right there. Well, my finances, I've got financial problems. I'm going bankrupt. Our business is going down. You don't understand. Give thanks. Begin to give thanks right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. And God's mercy and his grace will come and begin to prepare, and you're going to see it actually brings salvation. It brings salvation. Now watch this. Psalm 69. You there? Verse 1. "For the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. Where there is no standing, I have come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." Sounds like a pretty rough place, doesn't it? Verse 14, for the sake of time, we're going to go to verse 14. "Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. Out of the deep waters and let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you are in some very difficult situations. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to give thanks and be thankful and offer up sacrifices of thanksgiving. And when you do that, God's power and his favor and his grace can come into your life. Am I making sense today? He says, I'm in trouble, I'm overwhelmed, I'm drowning, I got people who hate me, people speaking negative against me. Anybody been through any of that? Huh? We all can relate to that, can't we? You see, no matter what kind of trouble you're in, he wants you to offer up thanksgiving. Now go to verse 30. Same chapter. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with what? I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I'm going to make God bigger than any problem I'm facing. That's what he's saying. I'm going to magnify him. That word magnify also means glorify. It means glorify. The word glorify means to value or esteem. I'm going to value God more than any problem I'm faced with or anything that's coming against me right now. I value God above that. You see that? See, here's the problem. What happens is we can get in a mess, in a trouble, and now we're so focused on the trouble, so focused on the problem, we forget about God. And now the enemy's just having a heyday in your life. But you see, when you release this thanksgiving, the enemy can't. He's going to get tired, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll wear his backside out. Come on now. And it won't have its, he won't be able to do his work on your life. He knows the chink in your armor. The enemy knows that. But when you're thankful, you're in charge. When you're thankful, no matter what's coming against you, you're in charge. And that's what we're trying to show you here. You see this? Then verse 31. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. You see? That's what they offered up. But this praising, giving thanks in the midst of all this trouble pleases God more than, you know, burning an ox or sacrificing an animal. You see, that's the way they did. But this giving thanks and magnifying God with thanksgiving pleases God more. When a man ways please the Lord, Proverbs 16:7 says, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Oh, come on, folks. You see, when you understand, see, this is not the way the world thinks. They don't have a clue what we're talking about. But when you get in here and you get you some understanding, man, it changes things. It changes things. You see everything differently because you're starting to understand now. You're starting to understand. And when you understand, see, that's why it says you must be born again to see the kingdom in John 3. And that word see means understand. When you're born again, you begin to understand the kingdom in ways that you've never understood before because you see things differently. And when I can give thanks in the midst of all these problems, it changes my life and it changes the people around me. Now look at this. All right. Go with me to Psalms 53 real quick. Or 50. Psalms 50. We're going to look at verse 23. Psalms 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. You see? It's the right thing to do when you glorify God and magnify God with thanksgiving. You see that? Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And that word praise there is the word toda, thanksgiving, sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we could say it like this. Whoever offers sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. See, glorifies, the word glorify means to value, to esteem, to be reverent. That's what that word glorify means. To value, to esteem, to be reverent. So I'm valuing God above anything I'm going through. He's got my undivided attention. You see, we can get to a place. That's why it says in Romans 1, that's how they got into all that debauchery and all that idol worship and all that homosexuality and all those things. They knew God, but then they did not glorify God. See, they already knew him, but they stopped glorifying God. You see, they stopped valuing him and esteeming him above everything else. So all those other things got into their life. You see that? I said, did you see that? That's important. Now watch this. NIV, the NIV translation says this, Psalms 50, verse 23. This is how it puts it. I like this. It's real close to the Amplified Bible. It says, he, Psalms 50, verse 23, NIV version, I'm trying to make it plain. He who offers sacrifices of thank offerings honors me and prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. You see that? He who offers sacrifices of thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the... Who prepares? He prepares. The one who's offering the thanksgiving. He's preparing the way for God to bring salvation into his life. You see that? The one who's offering the thanksgiving is preparing his way for God to bring the salvation into his life. And that word salvation means deliverance. It means to rescue. It means safety. Deliverance to rescue. In other words, when I'm in trouble, I'm going to offer God thanksgiving. And now I'm preparing the way for God to bring deliverance, to bring salvation, to rescue me, to make me, put me in a safe place. Am I making sense? Man, that's big. Will you look excited? I am. Because I know it's true. I don't care what you're going through. When you begin to do this, folks, it brings God's mercy and his grace into your life. When you're all focused on everything else and the problem, you stop it. You stop it and you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to feel down. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to want to isolate. You're going to want to get away. But when you begin to do this, you want to be where God is. You want to be in his presence. You want to come in here and lift your hands and get in agreement with God. You see what I mean? That's what you want to do. Even in the midst of all your mess, we're all going to face messes in life. We're all going to go through crisis. Are you with me? But God has our answer in the middle of the crisis. Go with me to Jonah. Real quick, we're going to look at Jonah. We're going to look at verse chapter 1 and verse 17. Jonah had a problem. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, did he? He ran to Tarshish, which would be like modern-day Spain, and that was about as far from Nineveh as you could get at the time. But now look at this. Verse 17, chapter 1 of Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And he didn't even pray. He didn't even pray. Now look at that. And then it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me in the deep into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Toward your holy temple. Jonah is in the belly of this whale, of this fish. And it says, he began to pray. He cried out to the Lord because of his affliction. And he says he answered him. That word affliction means to bind or to be bound or to be tied up. In other words, he was so bound in there, probably seaweed and all kinds of mess, you know, fish goo and everything else up in there, you know, just nasty, you know. And look at his description of it, out of the belly of hell, Sheol. That word Sheol is the word for hell. In other words, it was like he was in hell. But he cried out in the midst of all of his trouble, of the place. Now look what he says. Now this is significant. And then he says in verse 4, "Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet..." Jonah knew this, what I'm getting ready to share with you. This is very significant in verse 4. "Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." He was speaking and referring to Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple is where the presence of God was. And Solomon said, if you will look, told Israel, if you will look toward the holy temple, no matter your sickness, no matter your famine, no matter what, if you will look toward the holy temple, then God will get involved in your life and he will bring the solution. I'm paraphrasing, but it says it in 1 Kings. Solomon's temple represented the presence of God. And that's what Jonah said. I'm looking again toward the holy temple. You see that? A lot of times when people get in trouble, they run from the temple. They run from the presence of God. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Now think about this. "Yet I will again look toward your holy temple." Now verse 7. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." You see, he knew that God heard his prayer. Because he knew that if Solomon said, if you will repent and look toward the holy temple, God will get involved into your life, and bring and help you in your circumstance. If you will repent and look toward the holy temple, then God will get involved in your life. Jonah knew that. Now, that's why he said, "I remembered the Lord and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." See, he knew his prayer got answered. Verse 8, look, he's reflecting. Verse 8, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Now look at that. That word idol, the word worthless means to condemn because you have an alternative God. That's what that word worthless means. To condemn because you have an alternative God. Because Israel, it kept raising up other gods and not going to the one and true God. And that's what Jonah was talking about. He said, "Those who regard you have worthless idols." The word idol there means a vapor, empty with lies. A vapor, empty with lies. You see, when you get in trouble and your doubt and fear and all those negative voices start to come, and you know what? God, he says, they're idols. You are putting other things before God, and they're lies and they're empty. They have no power to change your life. Has anybody ever been there? There's no, you start listening to those negative voices when you get in the depths of your trouble. And the enemy comes and he will try to tell you you're not going to make it, you're a failure, and he will really try to put you down when you're in that place. Am I making sense? "You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. I'm going to say it again. You're no good. You're no good." Man, he sung that to me before. I believed it. You ever have that? And you start believing it, and you really feel like you're worthless. And see, that's that worthless idol working in your life. It's a lie. But when we give thanks to God, what do? We lift our hands and we get in agreement with what he said. You see, that's what we need to do. We need to get in agreement with what he said about us and about our circumstances. Are you with me? And that's what happens when you give thanks to God in the midst of your trouble. Look what happens here. Look at this. But I will sacrifice with the voice of what? Toda. See that? And I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, now salvation is coming because it's preparing the way. Deliverance, rescue, right? Safety. Now look what it says. The last part of this chapter. So the Lord spoke to the fish. It vomited Jonah onto dry land. Belt, your problems will belt you out. You hear me? When you offer up that thanksgiving in the midst of them, they're not going to destroy you and take you out, no matter what you face. Look at that in verse 8. When you won't look to God and offer that thanksgiving, you forsake the mercy of God. That word forsake means to abandon. You abandon the mercy of God. He can't get his mercy to you. He can't get his grace to you because you're focused on all that negativity and those other gods and those other lies, those things that have no value. Come on. Doesn't that just get a hold of you? Man, I tell you what, that right there will change your life. If you get a hold of that and put that in motion, folks, there's nothing that you won't be able to face in the plan and purpose that God has for you. I am just here to tell you. But you got to put that thing in place. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing. For what? So in other words, don't worry about anything, right? Don't be anxious. Don't get worried about your marriage. Don't get worried about your finances. Don't get worried about your children. Don't get worried about your job. Don't get nothing. I looked up the Greek word for nothing, and it means nothing. I broke it down. It means no thing. Be anxious for no thing. But by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving, toda, let your request be made known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ. You see, when you offer up that thanksgiving, now you open yourself up for God to get involved in your life. And now God comes in, and he's going to guard your mind. That word guard is like a garrison. Man, he's got guarding your mind, making sure it's on track, making sure it's stable, making sure it's thinking sound thoughts. He's guarding you. He's guarding your mind. He's guarding your soul. He's guarding your heart. Am I making sense? And no matter what's going on out here, it can't get in because God is guarding it.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.